fact that a young man from down in neighboring Milwaukee, a very impressive athlete in the Olympics, I'm talking about Laurent Soucy, Bobby Heenan, you've got a big smile on your face tonight.
Impressive in the Olympics. Who cares about watching a bunch of children wrestle? Who cares about the Olympics? Oh, it's a great thing for the country, but who cares about Laurent Soucy? That's his name?
Laurent Soucy.
Can you imagine? 9 months they had to come up with another name, and that's the best they could do. Laurent. That's the most important thing they could come up with in 9 months. Shows you the mentality of his parents. Of course, he went to the University of Wisconsin, right?
In Madison.
Don't take a whole lot to get in there. I guess you have to be able to, the entrance exam, you have to be able to write your name in three different colors of crayon. I could care less your wrestling ability. I could care about your amateur background. You're in the ring now with a professional. I'm going to go behind that man so much, he's going to think he's stuck in a revolving door. I'm going to take him down, take him around, show him the town. I'm going to reverse neck snap his neck. I'm going to dislocate both his shoulders. Then I might just paintbrush until my hands are swollen shut.
And good morning and hello, you people. My name is Pat McNeil, columnist for the Pro Wrestling Torch. No, I am not Jim Valley. Jim is on vacation this Saturday and next Saturday. But yes, this is Saturday Morning Wrestling here on PWTorchLivecast.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network. And the number is 646-721-9828. Of course, you can also reach us via email. That is PWTorchLivecast@gmail.com. Still the email address of the day. You can join the chat room. The chat room is open. There are already people filing in. And you can also join us on Twitter. It is at Real Pat McNeil. We'll pick up your questions there. Joining us at the top of the hour going to be the grappler, Len Denton, and the legendary Jake the Snake Roberts. Both of them are putting together a comedy show. That's right, a comedy show coming up this Monday at Harvey's in Portland, Oregon. We'll be talking to them about the show and about and answering your questions about their great history in professional wrestling. And I got to ask you this: I want your questions, I want your thoughts, you know, and I want you to talk to them. I also want to know from you what you consider to be the greatest, you know, the funniest moments in professional wrestling. Now, I'm not talking about the wonderful backstage skits that WWE puts on, although sometimes you get entertaining stuff from them. Comedy is difficult. I try to tell jokes on Twitter every Monday night from about 8 till 11, and, you know, you run out of jokes after a certain point. But, I want your thoughts as to, you know, the best moments in professional wrestling, the funniest ones, and they're usually ones that occur naturally, and they're ones that occur based on, you know, having well-known and well-defined characters. So 646-721-9828. Let's see. We're going to be talking about that. We're going to have the grappler. We're going to have Jake Roberts, and we're going to have your thoughts on a variety of topics. I feel like a prop comic without most of my props today because we're not talking about current wrestling, and I'm not going to be playing most of my audio drops, which I know some of you people like better than others. But in the end, it's about you. This is Saturday Morning Wrestling. If you're anything like me, you grew up, and what was on wrestling on a Saturday morning, was on television on a Saturday morning, was pro wrestling, whether it was WWWF or WWF or the NWA or the AWA or any one of a number of territories, and cartoons, and we happen to like both of them here. In matter of fact, we're going to... in a moment, tell you about Loot Crate, which is one of our great sponsors, which actually sells a lot of interesting stuff. It's like Comic-Con in a box, as we like to say. And we will discuss all of that with you, 646-721-9828. I am not Jim Valley. I am Pat McNeil, and we will be rejoining you after this brief timeout.
If you're like me, you've got a list of your favorite podcasts that you listen to throughout the week and also your favorite websites that you listen to throughout the week, but they don't always overlap. But in the case of PW Torch, they do. We hope not only will you listen to the PW Torch livecast every day, but also visit pwtorch.com every day for the latest insider perspective, breaking news, TV reports, live event reports, live pay-per-view coverage, exclusive editorials, and a wide range of other features. Check it out every day. It's mobile-friendly, desktop and laptop-friendly. Stay up to the minute, stay up to date with PWTorch.com.
All right. Thank you, Wade, and we always appreciate you joining us on PWTorch.com during the week. And I'd like to talk to you about our main sponsor, which is LootCrate.com. LootCrate, it's a monthly subscription box for epic geek and gamer items and pop culture gear. For less than $20 a month, you get 6 to 8 items that include licensed gear, apparel, collectibles, unique one-of-a-kind items, and more. Each month, you have until the 19th at midnight Eastern, 9 Pacific, to subscribe and receive that month's crate. When the cutoff happens, it's over. You don't get surprised with your loot in your loot crate. Let's see. But actually, you know, this month's theme coming up is power. I'm going to go ahead and pull up what we have here on that. I think Warcraft is involved. Yes. You're going to get licensed merchandise from a bunch of your favorite brands. Loot Crate also has. There's also various options in case you're not. Big on just the regular Loot Crate, you can get the massive Loot Crate DX. No, Triple H is not involved. It's just a bigger sized crate. You can get Loot Pets for your because you need the latest in doggy shirts and doggy collars. Okay, the Power Crate for this month. It's all about big summer movies, it says, and no one crate should have all this much power. It contains merchandise from Marvel Comics, from Warcraft, and from Dragon Ball Z. And the first time you order something from the Loot Crate, you just enter in the code pwtorch.com. That's $3. $3 off or $3 off of any subscription. You can also, if you like, go through the past Loot Crates. Some of them are still available for previous months. And unlike the normal Loot Crate package, you actually get to know what's in them, you know, when you order them before you see them. March had the Versus Loot Crate, and I will tell you what was in there. Looks like the swag was a every month you get a T-shirt. So the swag was a Star Trek Mirror Mirror T-shirt. There was also your choice, I guess, a Daredevil or a Punisher beanie from the Daredevil TV show, a Predator figurine, a Batman versus Superman paper wallet, a free downloaded game called Word Gush, and a Harley Quinn comic book from DC Comics exclusively. That's some very nice stuff. They also have Loot Pets. Loot Anime, for all of you anime collectors. Let's see. Loot Gaming. I think there's a backup list for that. Level Up, which is basically your... it's clothes. It's funny geek clothes, like the Harry Potter socks that were in last month's box. You can order every month, and you can get socks in a box. Very exciting. So it's all at LootCrate.com. They ship to 27 countries, and it's under $20, and that includes shipping. And you can get rates for subscribing for 3 months, 6 months, or a year. They will cut the price on each individual Loot Crate. So go sign up now at LootCrate.com. Enter the code PWTorch. Tell them Pat McNeil sent you. Or if you're feeling generous, tell them Jim Bailey sent you. That'll be great. Okay, let's start talking about the funniest moments of professional wrestling. I'm pulling up some articles online because people definitely have different views of what's funny. And this is from recent sports entertainment. So... let's see. Here we go. Number 20, according to... I'm going to go through this article. It's from The Sportster, just so we know what... Just so everybody knows what we're talking about. Not familiar with this website, really, other than the fact that I pulled it up. It is... I'll give the author credit, if I can find him. Frank Sturm. Oh, hello, Frank. Okay. 20 funniest moments in wrestling history. Apparently, number 20 was Ron Simmons saying damn to John Cena. That's... Okay, that's number 20. Number 19 is the infamous interview from the 90s where Booker T called Hulk Hogan the N-word. No, really, he did. He accidentally, and it was an accident, and if you saw his reaction, you know that it was an accident. He did not mean for that to slip out on live television. Let's see. Story number 18, Kane. Kane utters his first words, and... you know, thanks to having his voice box, you know, thanks to having the little voice box thing repaired, and his first words are "suck it." Yes, that was hysterical. I'm amazed. Oh, I'm on the phone. Hi. Okay. Number 16. Let's see what we have here. Yes. Let's move on here. Number 16. Okay. Number 17. The Rock makes fun of everybody in the 1999 Hell in a Cell, making fun of Rikishi's thong. Making fun of The Undertaker, Triple H, Stephanie McMahon, and Stone Cold, who he claims is a Backstreet Boys fan. Wow. That's hard to believe. But anyway, 646-729-9898. Talking a bit about comedy. And this is not funny, so I'm still... Okay, thank you. Anyway, good to be on. Yeah, let's continue.
I don't know!
Okay, it is working. Thank you. All right. Let's see. Okay, so Stephanie McMahon and Chris... Okay, Chris Jericho and The Rock insult Stephanie McMahon. That's 16. 15 is Vince McMahon getting beaten up in the hospital on October 5th, 1998. I would probably put that higher. You had Mick Foley coming in with Mr. Sacco to entertain mankind. Okay, and then of course, with Stone Cold coming in to beat up The Rock. Stone Cold coming in to beat up Mr. McMahon. Yes, this is Stone Cold attacking with the Zamboni. Yes, the attack with the Zamboni on Raw, that was interesting. Kurt Angle's attack with a milk truck is number 13. Mr. McMahon having his car filled with concrete by Steve Austin, number 12. The Rock and Sock is number 11. DX's impersonation of Mr. McMahon is number 10. And, this is going incredibly well. Why don't we take a short commercial break right here? And we will be back after this timeout here on Saturday Morning Wrestling. Don't forget, joining us at the top of the hour, the grappler, Len Denton, and, of course, Jake the Snake Roberts.
And when that happened, we would normally force him in the pool.
Right.
And the look on someone's face when you shove them and they're in the air and they're saying to themselves, no. And they realize that they're completely, totally wet. Watch the whole deal. It is one of the funniest things in the world.
What?
Do you shop at Amazon.com? If so, do you know there's a way for you to support the PW Torch livecast without doing anything different other than starting your shopping at pwtorch.com/Amazon? When you go to pwtorch.com/Amazon, click on the Amazon link, and you land at the Amazon homepage. But anything you buy on that shopping trip, we get a commission for. It's a way to throw a few extra quarters, maybe a couple bucks in the tip jar, as a way to say thanks for what we do here at the PW Torch livecast. So next time you're about to shop at Amazon, don't type in AMAZ. Stop right there and type in pwtorch.com/Amazon. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. A free, easy way to help support what we do here at the livecast. Thank you.
Yes, pwtorch.com/Amazon. Really? Okay. Yeah, every little bit helps here at Pro Wrestling Torch, and we thank you very much for your patronage. And I tell you what, I'm going to switch phone lines right now, if that's okay with everybody. 646-721-9828. We want your thoughts on the use of comedy in professional wrestling, or any thoughts and questions that you have about the history of comedy in pro wrestling, or questions that you have for Len Denton or for Jake the Snake Roberts. Tell you what, we will be back in short order. Why don't you go ahead and listen to this while I take care of that. Hold on.
When you're looking to tune in live to the PW Torch livecast, find out about the next episode, or just catch up on an episode you missed, go to our new website, pwtorchlivecast.com. You can select shows by specific day, specific host, and format, including a grid of our latest interviews and best of selections on the homepage. That is pwtorchlivecast.com, where you can stream our show live and listen to past shows on demand. That's pwtorchlivecast.com.
Welcome back to the program. Hi, my name is Pat McNeil.
We were talking about the funniest moment in professional wrestling. DX impersonating Mitch McMahon gets 10. Mick Foley, This Is Your Life, which dragged a little bit, number 9. DX messing with Mr. McMahon's microphone and doing Looney Tunes bits, number 8. Steve Austin and Booker T fighting in a supermarket. That should be, that might be number 1 in my book. That was some outstanding stuff. Number 6 is Mr. McMahon being forced to end the Kiss My Ass Club. Number 5, The Rock making fun of Billy Gunn. Number 4, the Chris Jericho conspiracy victims skits from Monday Nitro. That's good stuff. Number 3 is the Shockmaster. We've had the Shockmaster on the show Fred Ottman was supposed to walk through a wall for his big debut. Somebody, unbeknownst to him, had left a board up about 12 inches off the ground at the level Fred was supposed to walk through. So he tripped through the wall in his big wrestling debut, fell on his face, and lost his foam Stormtrooper mask. This was not good. This was not good news for anybody. So yeah, that is listed here at number four. This is not okay. That's listed here as number three. Number two. Well, the Vince McMahon pees his pants storyline from 1998. Okay, no. And let's see. The Rock singing on singing to Sacramento. So in the early 2000s. Okay, I guess that was the Rock concert. Well then, okay, let's continue on another path. We also have a pay-per-view this weekend, a little thing called Payback with Roman Reigns and AJ Styles. I'm curious to, I think this has real potential. I think like a lot of people think that this feud could continue. Yeah, this feud could continue for a while, and there's talk that both factions are going to end up being involved. Both the Shield and the team of and the Bullet Club team, or whatever they're going to call the group with AJ Styles, Anderson Gallows, possibly Finn Balor, maybe even Nakamura, for all I know. I think that the problem with doing epic storylines in pro wrestling is that it's pro wrestling. On Game of Thrones, they can kill off characters. In WWE, they're not so big on killing off characters, and I think that's fair. You also have guys getting injured and ruining storylines, as we've already seen this past month with Bray Wyatt. You know, Bray Wyatt was supposed to be a big part of what's going on with Roman Reigns. They were going to continue this for a while, and Bray suffers a calf injury and he's out for several weeks, and that ruined it. You can probably come up with a number of instances where injuries have ruined big storylines. But John Cena's injury led to Ryback versus CM Punk, which is actually a surprisingly well-drawing pay-per-view back in the day. Let's see. Yeah, there are twists and turns and surprises in the pro wrestling world. 646-721-9828. Let's see if we have any questions for us in the chat room, questions for us in email. All right. I don't think we really have any questions. Okay. Chris has been trying to call from Australia. That's very fortunate. Let's see. We have VIP members who called in yesterday. That's good. All right. Let's see what else we have going on here. All right. I did make fun of the Amazon thing where we do at pwtorch.com/Amazon because I guess I thought it was the neat torch to do something like that. However, this is 2016. You need every source of income you can get. So, I applaud Wade for coming up with new sources of revenue for us here at PW Torch. Let's go back and look at some of the history of pro wrestling here. On Saturday mornings, you would have back in the day, from WWF. It was originally All Star Wrestling and Championship Wrestling, and then that became Superstars and Wrestling Challenge. This is back in the days of wrestling from syndication. Back when back when you could actually syndicate a show on television and make money off of it. And that's what you got. You got Superstars, which was the main launching point for all of WWF programming. That's where the main storylines took place. Challenge was for those markets where, they decided that 1 hour of wrestling on a Saturday morning wasn't enough. You needed two. And that's how you ended up with that. Also, you had Wrestling Spotlight, which was the third show. I think some stations, including Channel 11, I want to say in Los Angeles, did air all three of those shows. Not back-to-back-to-back, fortunately, because there'd be a lot of crossover there if they did, and that would be rough. But, Spotlight, they'd occasionally have snippets of a match between two actual wrestlers who were not enhancement performers, and that was considered a big thing back in the day. Then you had the NWA or WCW. The NWA had Worldwide Wrestling, which was again their big weekend show, and NWA Pro Wrestling, which was the secondary show. And it's the same deal; you got 1 hour or 2 hours. AWA had All Star Wrestling, which was sort of considered, the weak sister of the bunch, especially during the late 1980s when the AWA started falling apart. I mean, you go back through the history of the AWA, it was a regional promotion. It probably, and when they tried to turn it into more of a national promotion, you had problems, understandably. You also had Mid-South and the UWF back when that started out. Mid-South was, again, a good regional wrestling promotion. When it became the UWF, they still had some inspired stuff, but they were spending far more money than they needed to, and their expansion, unfortunately, happened at a time when the oil market was getting hit pretty hard in America, and that was the main area that Bill Watts was promoting. So that made things difficult. You had USWA, World Class, that whole Texas stuff. World Class Wrestling was hot during the heyday of the Von Erichs, and we've seen some of that stuff on the WWE Network. The USWA, less so. You get a good dose of Jerry Lawler and Jeff Jarrett and maybe even Terry Von Erich on a good week. It soon came to the point where Vince McMahon was running everybody else out of business because he was putting on shows with better production values. He basically bought up a lot of the top wrestlers, which made it difficult to put together good programs. I mean, look back on 1984 when, before Georgia Championship Wrestling got bought out by WWF, their main feud was Jake Roberts versus Ronnie Garvin, which they got a lot of heat for. Not because there's anything wrong with Jake Roberts or Ronnie Garvin, but Ronnie Garvin especially, not really a huge star, not really the guy who'd be selling out the Omni every week. And Jake Roberts eventually became a big star. He only got the headline briefly though in WWF and in WCW. And he's one of those guys that a lot of diehard wrestling fans love because of his promos, because he could talk. And he had the DDT, which was a cool move, and he had a snake, and that made him interesting. But he was not Jake the Snake in Georgia Championship Wrestling. He was Jake Roberts. Not the same thing. You go back to the 1985, the AWA is trying to compete with WWF and the NWA, and they have Rick Martel as champion. You can argue that, the merits of that, but putting together the best opponents here. For a long time, Jimmy Garvin was the top bad guy and the number one challenger to Rick Martel. And even on his best day, Jimmy Garvin was limited. He's not the guy that's going to go out there and fight an hour with Ric Flair. He had a great match with Ric Flair, a couple of them in fact. But it just seemed like the AWA was getting the short end of the stick. You had Southwest Championship Wrestling, which was another regional promotion, somehow got on USA Network and almost immediately it didn't last. And the reason it didn't last was that people complained about the content, including the infamous feud where guys were throwing pig feces at each other. That will get you thrown off the air pretty quickly in 1983. And that's why the PG world of WWE did so well. And let's face it, there's a lot of things that were done in pro wrestling back then that you're not going to be able to do today. Look at the anti-bullying initiative, not only in wrestling where we've seen it in WWE, but across various platforms. You couldn't have, Roddy Piper could not make fun of Adrian Adonis the way he did. If he had made fun of Adrian Adonis for being overweight, it'd be fat shaming. If he made fun of Adrian, he can't make fun of Adrian Adonis for coming out as gay. He would have to do something that's along the lines of Adrian Adonis is pretending to be gay to get sympathy. That's how you'd have to go in this market. Pro wrestling is politically incorrect at the best of times, but you actually have to acknowledge how times have changed because you have people, who are watching this who are from 2016 and not from 1986. I've probably spoken enough on this topic. 646-721-9828. We are looking forward to taking more of your calls. And we're looking forward to having Jake the Snake Roberts and Len Denton joining us in just a few minutes right here on Saturday Morning Wrestling. Don't forget, you can also become a subscriber to Pro Wrestling Torch, pwtorch.com/GoVIP, $10 a month, $99 a year. That's how you do it, pwtorch.com/GoVIP. See, I'm going to have all of these out of the way before we get down to business here with Len Benton and Jake Roberts. And there's something else that you get as a Torch VIP member. I'm trying to remember.
Your ideas are intriguing to me, and I wish to subscribe to your newsletter.
Oh, yes, that. It's the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter. It comes to you once a week. It comes to you in a slick PDF file that you can look at online. If you like, you can, instead of getting it online, you can actually get the paper newsletter like we had back when there was paper newsletters and paper newspapers in general delivered to your home once a week. And some people like it better. It's you don't have to be connected. Sometimes you're not connected to the internet. I know that's hard to say in 2016, but that's true. And it's a lot, and it's easier to collect them that way in a nice box like I do, or a photo album. But however you slice it, it's pwtorch.com/govip. You also, believe it or not, get more audio shows from being a Torch VIP member than you would otherwise. I mean, here, you can go on pwtorchlivecast.com. You can download over 1,200 shows, the shows that we've done 5 days a week and now 6 days a week with the advent of the Saturday Morning Wrestling Show. But you still, in order to get all the maximum amount of pro wrestling audio, you should be a VIP member, because you're going to get 15 bonus VIP audio shows a week. And I can tell you about some of those. James Caldwell and I, every Wednesday after the Wednesday live cast, we come on and we do a VIP after show where we go over the news and wrestling and tell you what's coming up the following weekend. And as some people like that, you get extra segments with Wade Keller and Jason Powell on Tuesdays. Let's see. The Monday live cast, every other week I do it with James Caldwell. It's fantastic. Jim Bailey and I, if you're a VIP member, you probably already know this. We've mentioned it several times. We do a show called The Way Back Playback. This is where we take a thank you. For that, we pick a show that's on the WWE Network, and we go ahead and do our own Mystery Science Theater 3000 type commentary to it. And you can watch along and hopefully learn something and laugh along with us, because as much as we brag about how great wrestling was in the old days, there doesn't hold up in 2016. Like security guards with foam trucker hats, for example, as we discussed on Capital Combat. Matter of fact, the first 85 episodes are available for VIP members at pwtorch.com. And the last set of shows we did was about Capital Combat 1990, The Return of RoboCop, which was amazing for so many reasons. You're combining a big NWA wrestling show with all these seriousness and championships of it with what amounts to an ad for the movie RoboCop 2, an R-rated movie. Which you're trying to do family-friendly wrestling entertainment for it. You actually had Gordon Soley, considered the greatest wrestling broadcaster alive, in his final few years as a broadcaster, attempting to get a backstage interview with RoboCop. This happened. You also had El Gigante, who got signed to WCW. He was a basketball project from Argentina, a legit, built at 7'7". He was probably close to that. He made his debut as El Gigante, and there was a small problem that he couldn't wrestle. But other than that, things went very smoothly. You had Sting, who was still too injured to wrestle. And you also had John Laurinaitis, who was known at the time as Johnny Ace, and the guy who was on WWE television for such a while doing People Power, taking on Mean Mark Callis, who was Mark Calloway, who would later go on to be The Undertaker. Just lots of stuff like that. But we give you guys the opportunity to pick and choose what you want to hear on the WWE Network when we do the Way Back Playback Show. Tomorrow we start a series of episodes focused. We did a Twitter poll asking what you wanted to do, and you guys picked China's Greatest Moment. Joey Lawler, China, won the WWF Intercontinental title at WWF No Mercy 1999. Yes, this actually happened. How it went was China was facing Jeff Jarrett in a good housekeeping match. That is actually what we're going to be covering on episode 86 starting tomorrow, plus some of the other excitement that was part of the WWF in that era, including the huge feud, the grudge match between the Godfather and Midian. Yes, good times. And a whole lot of other stuff that we'll be covering on No Mercy. So yeah, if you're a subscriber to the WWE Network and you enjoy the sort of you enjoy what Jim Valley and I bring to the table, you might want to check out an edition of the Wayback, a VIP exclusive here on PWTorch.com. All right, we're going to reset the table in just a moment as we're expecting the arrival of Jake Roberts and the Grappler, 646-721-9828. If you have email questions, and thank goodness for email, you can do that. PWTorchLivecast@gmail.com is the other way to reach us. If you have a question for us via Twitter, we are open. The Twitter account is open. Is it real Pat McNeil? If you have anything for us, you can sign in the chat room and put out your question that way. All right, we are going to take a brief time out here, and when we come back, we're going to get to our interview. So don't go anywhere. You're on the Pro Wrestling Torch Saturday Morning Wrestling. We're very glad that you're with us.
If you're a fan of the PW Torch Livecast, you might want to consider a PW Torch VIP membership. When you do that, you get access to an exclusive RSS feed of not only ad-free, plug-free versions of every single PW Torch Livecast, but also over 50 other VIP exclusive podcasts per month, including the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline. I also host three other flagship VIP exclusive podcasts: The Midweek Fix with Todd Martin, The Weekend Bruce Mitchell Audio Show, each about 2 hours in length, and the post-pay-per-view roundtables with the one-hour analysis of every WWE pay-per-view and some other ones too. Also, ad-free access to PWTorchVIP.com, and that is mobile-friendly and PC and desktop-friendly. And also access to almost three decades of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter, dating back to the late 1980s, over 1,400 back issues, with my pay-per-view reports on every single pay-per-view match since the late 1980s, with star ratings and match descriptions, roundtable reviews from the staff on every pay-per-view, cover stories on the biggest story every single week in pro wrestling, march through them as a VIP member 1 week at a time, read our exclusive Torch Talks with pro wrestling's biggest names, hard-hitting editorials, backstage tidbits you will not hear anywhere else, and much more. It's all available. Check out details at pwtorch.com/govip. That's pwtorch.com/govip. Exclusive podcasts, exclusive new newsletters every week, ad-free access to our website, and access to 28-plus years of archives. It's all waiting for you if you go VIP. Find out more details, a checklist of all the benefits of being a VIP member, along with testimonials from current members, and a sign-up form that's mobile-friendly. It takes about 90 seconds to sign up. Go check it out today, pwtorch.com/govip.
And we're back with more Saturday Morning Wrestling here on PWTorchLivecast.com and the Blog Talk Radio Network. Pat McNeil filling in for Jim Valley. And we are joined at this time by the legendary Grappler, the one and only Len Denton. Welcome to the show, Grappler.
Hey, buddy. How you doing, Pat?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good, buddy. I had rumored that Jake Roberts, Jake the Snake, supposed to be calling today. You heard from that boy yet?
Well, I did hear that he was going to call. 706 area code. Have you seen a snake in the area?
This is Jake.
All right, there we go. Ladies and gentlemen, you've often been told never trust a snake. Well, here he is, the one and only Jake the Snake Roberts. Welcome to Saturday Morning Wrestling. It's a great pleasure to have
you
on.
How you doing? I appreciate
doing
that.
Fine. Yes, sir. We also have the Grappler with us.
Well, you know, you get one, you get two, there you go.
Yeah.
You know, all I know is I ran into a fan out here in front of my hotel named Red. She was looking for a Grappler. I don't know what that's about, but she's pretty scary to be.
She should
have worn his mask.
Well, imagine if you run into Jim Valley out there. That would be pretty frightening, too.
There you go.
Anyway.
I tell you, guys, I'm just glad to be around these days, you know. And Monday we're going to shoot into Portland and go over to Harvey's, man. I do a little comedy thing now, man. You got to catch it sometime. I think you'd really enjoy it. Because it's basically just road stories and stuff, you know, things that happen on the road and strip joints and bars and in the ring and here, there, and everywhere, man. The fun stuff, the stuff you don't hear about. And you just kind of takes the fans behind the scenes and lets them enjoy some of the insanity we did.
Yeah, we have wrestlers on the show sometimes, Jake, and you ask them for road stories, and some of these guys go, well, the statute of limitations hasn't quite run on that one yet. I really can't talk about it.
Exactly. You know, I had so much material to work with. You know, I wrestled for 40 years, and you do that for 40 years, plus you carry around a damn 15-foot snake, so you're bound to have something happen during the day. And it usually did, but it was usually at night. We all come out at night.
Yeah,
back in those days, we were all Draculas.
Yeah, I mean, this is the era of corporations owning wrestling companies, and you know, in some ways that's good, but you don't get they sort of clamped down on the personalities that people had back in the old days. I guess would be a good way to put it.
Yeah, they did, and some of it needed to be shut down a little bit. We were pretty running pretty hard, running pretty wild, and but then again, we were running 7 days a week, you know, 30, 40 days at a time. And you got to have something to keep you going. And, you know, it was what it was. I'm clean and sober these days and enjoying it, really enjoying it. And, you know, thank God that I made it. A lot of them didn't. And that's very unfortunate. But, you know, sometimes they say it's the drugs that kill you, and other times, I think it's much more than that. I think it's the lack of being able to do what you want to do, you know. And unfortunately, when there's only one big company, those spots are limited. And it's not a choice whether you keep going or not, you know. You just get a phone call, or these days you get an email telling you you're fired. I can't believe that crap.
Darn it.
Or
an envelope in the mail.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, and here you've worked your whole life to do something, and just because somebody doesn't like the flavor that you're presenting, their people can't write a storyline for you. Please give me a break. Oh my God, that's so sad. That's so sad.
Yeah.
But
I do want to make sure we get this in. Jake Snake Roberts and the Grappler, Jake's Unspoken Word World Tour, this Monday at Harvey's Comedy Club, 436 Northwest 6th Avenue in Portland, Oregon. You can go to harveyscomedyclub.com or jakethesnakeroberts.com for more information on that. I mean, you know, they say, Jake, that comedy is tragedy plus time. Well, you've got you've had a lot of time, so you've got a lot of material.
Oh, yeah, I got a lot of material. I'm going to have a lot of fun. I want to encourage the fans to bring their memorabilia. I'll be glad to hook them up with some signatures and stuff. We're going to have a blast, man. I'll open it up for a little Q&A at the end and just try to fulfill everybody's needs. And my need today is to get out the door of this hotel room. I'm over in lovely Salem going to a Comic-Con. So they're downstairs waiting on me, so I'm going to let you guys go, but know this. You're in my thoughts, you're in my prayers, and the rest I'll leave it alone.
Okay, hey, Pat, can I say one thing before Jake takes off?
Yes.
Okay, Jake, you know, me and you, Jake, we got a lot of history in pro wrestling, but when we first started, hell, I was Lynn Denton and you was Jake Roberts. There wasn't no Jake the Snake or the Grappler then. So we go way, way back, like year number 38 or something, okay? And,
1938,
right. So here's the thing, Jake. We got a lot of history, and I think Monday night at Harvey's, we're going to make some more history because we're going to settle this who invented the DDT thing once and for all. You need to bring
Lynn, just leave it alone. I mean, everybody knows the DDT was invented by somebody over 6 foot. And then
goodbye.
We're going to have fun with this one.
That ain't right. That ain't right.
We're going to have fun with this for Jake.
All right. Well, Jake Roberts stopped by, and now he has dropped off. I know he's... okay. Well, Len, on that note, let's see.
It never stops, man. It's always a running thing going in my life and in.
Right. So, I mean, I remember... one of my favorite Jake interviews is when he described the DDT as a short ride, bad landing. That's kind of the spot you guys put together.
Yeah, no kidding, brother. It was, buddy. We're going to settle that Monday night. That's why I want everybody to come to Harvey's. we're going to finally get it said and done. Okay.
Okay. I'm looking forward. I'm looking forward to seeing how that turns out. Okay. I got a question in via email. This is John from Colorado. You up for it? You up for this, Scrappler? Okay. He wants to know, can you talk a little bit? What's that?
I'm ready, buddy.
All right. John wants to know, can you talk a little bit about Nick Bockwinkel, where he wrestled, what his style was, and his influence? I've Googled him, but I like hearing about it from the experts. Okay.
Got you. Nick Bockwinkel was, when I broke into business, Nick Bockwinkel was already up to the top of the wrestling game, you know? And so I, look up to that fella, and he was not the same, because he was kind of a pretty good-looking guy, you know? But he was more like a wrestler like Dory Funk Jr. He didn't ever do a wasted motion out there. Everything meant something. You know, like the opposite is like Terry Funk. He's a wild furniture mover, tables, chairs, ladders. Now, Dory would go out and wrestle your butt off, you know? And that's the way Nick Bockwinkel was, the same way. So everybody respected him totally, and he was one great athlete, and he was hell of a great worker inside that ring.
But I think, hearing some of the AWA fans talk about, they loved Nick Bockwinkel's promos, which is, it was very simple stuff. He would just be letting he'd let the fans know that he considered himself better than everybody else. And that was, that was considered reason enough to hate him.
Exactly. Yeah, of course. But Nick Bockwinkel was, he was one of the boys behind the scenes. He wasn't like a smart ass or I'm better than you behind the scene.
Right.
He always tried to help guys and do things, but he was just It's like me or Jake or anyone would portray an attitude out there because I'm better at drawing money that way. I get people to buy tickets, right? And I'm trying to make a living. But Bockwinkel, behind the scene in the industry, was helpful to young guys and helpful to guys trying to get a step up to the top,
Yeah, and after he retired from wrestling, he was for a while a road agent and an announcer for WWF, I think he got taken out of that job due to budget cuts, but then he was around WCW for a while.
He definitely had the gift of gab. He was very good on the TV, talking, and everybody knew that he was a professional to the ultimate inside that ring. So he had a lot of education. So having him around was a plus for everybody.
Okay, let's see. We got a question. Got a question in email from Brian. Thank you. Brian wants to know what were the best and worst territories to work in and why. That's a lot. That covered that covers a lot of ground there.
One of the best territories to work in. I can give you an answer to that was here where I live in Portland, Oregon, for Don Owens, because he paid well and you were home every night just about. Okay. You'd have to stay on the road and travel so much, not so many miles. And Don was easy to work for. I mean, he was kind of an honorary old coot, but if it come down to it, he would be straight up with you and honest, one of the worst ones to work for, I'll give you two answers there. One was Mid-South, which not because of the Bill Watts or because of the, the promoter or because of the money or anything, but the trips were so long. It's like, 3,000 miles a week. You felt like a truck driver instead of a wrestler, And so it just, the work was getting to the match. The match was the easy part. It's getting there was a problem. And then I'll tell you an example. And then up in Canada for Stu Hart up there, it was a pretty tough territory. I worked there for a year. And, man, there's some long, long trips there too, But I'll give you an example with the Mid-South territory. One time we had traveled so much, so many days in a row that everybody was just like burnt out. And so we're trying to get a day off. And so Orndorff and Ted DiBiase, and I forget who else, it might have been Tony Atlas, they went about 50 miles out of town that morning heading from Baton Rouge, and I think they were going toward Tulsa, which is like 400 miles. And they pulled over 50 miles and stopped and got them something to eat and waited. And they waited until it was too late to make the show driving, right? And they figured their plan was we would call Cowboy Bill Watts in Tulsa at the office in Mid-South and we'll tell him that, you know, our car broke down, and, hell, we'll turn around and go back home. It's only 50 miles, spend the night with the family, and we'll make the show tomorrow.
Right.
Well, Bill Watts goes just like this. Where are you at, fellas? Hold on a minute. Let me get the barbecue sauce off my hands. He was cooking barbecue at his house. He goes, these guys are sitting on the side of the road, right? He goes and calls back in about 20 minutes and goes, hey, there's a guy coming to pick you up right now. He's going to take you over to the private airport. I got a charter plane waiting to fly you guys here. So they had to fly the charter plane, fly back to Baton Rouge, and get another ride and go back and get their car the next day. So they ended up costing them more miles to put in.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that sounds about right. And when you say a chartered plane, this is not like the jet that Vince McMahon has that takes him around the ship.
No, this is like a Cessna. Hang on to it, buddy.
Yeah,
you got to wait. The weight and balance is on that plane to make sure you don't go down, you know?
Right. Yeah, got to have guys lined up. Okay, so you're talking about Mid-South and Stampede. The AWA back in the day, I mean, there weren't a lot of road trips, by the same token, you weren't getting probably the big payoffs you were getting elsewhere.
I work, like, you're talking about for Vern Gagne, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
See, I work some shows, but mainly my interaction with the guys from Minneapolis was when I worked as a booker for Bob Geigel, was the president of the NWA, and Holly Race was the owner of Kansas City territory. They hired me as my first booking job, and me and Harley used to book St. Louis together with Vern Gagne's crew out of Minneapolis, and also out of Fritz's crew in Dallas. So we used the Von Erich some, used the top guys from Minneapolis, and then our top guys from Kansas City. And we book a joint show. That's where I got most of my interactions. I worked a few shows in Minneapolis, but I never was full time in the AWA.
Hmm. All right.
Mine was NWA and stuff like that, you know.
Okay. What did you hear about what the old WWF was like when Vince Sr. was running it as a territory? Because I mean, they had a lot of territory. I don't know that they had the really, really long road trips like you had in Mid-South.
Yeah. You're talking about when WWF opened up?
Yes.
Okay. I worked for WCW some. I never worked for Vince. I think I worked one show out of the Crockett territory back in the day. But I heard that Vince Jr. was taking his chance to go nationwide, and they started trying to take over.
I was talking more before that, actually.
Well, I heard about there was from a guy like, say, Ernie Ladd told me about it. Andre the Giant was a good friend of mine. He used to ride with me all the time. And they would talk about going in to wrestle Bruno on top, or then it was who was the other guy, the young guy? Bob Backlund, yeah. And Bob Backlund, stuff like that. What they would do is they would work to other territories, but that was like the big break. If you got to go there, you made the most money. So people really wanted to, everybody was fighting to get there, you know, but it's a big man's territory, you know, at that day.
Yeah, that's true. They didn't have a lot. Yeah, didn't have a lot of, I mean, the big guys were headlining.
Yeah.
Okay, so, okay, so when you worked for Crockett, we're talking about before they felt like they had to expand just to compete with Vince McMahon, but before that, I mean, there was the Mid-Atlantic territory. How much do you know about that?
You're talking about through Kansas City territory?
No, I mean, I'm talking about the Crocketts in Charlotte.
Oh, the Crockett's. No, I worked for Crockett's two different times. I was there two different years in a row. And so many towns, it was unbelievable. It was like, I remember we used to do interviews, Pat, and it would take us like 3/4 of the day to get through doing interviews. Like some guys have 50, 60 promos to do, markets, you know. And they were running all Canada, plus all the way down North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, West Virginia, all those towns. My lucky break there was when I got I got with Ric Flair and got to drive Rick out all the towns and just pick his brain every night. That was one of the greatest things happened to me. But as far as the territory, was a good territory. They gave a lot of young guys their breaks, you know. There was a lot of miles there, too. I mean, you know, like trips 340 miles one way and 400 miles the other way. And there's a lot of hard trips there. But it was a great place for a guy to go and learn because he worked every night and he had so many towns.
And every town was, and I mean, this is every town was different.
Yes, sir.
Every audience was different.
Yeah. But they had so when I was there the second time I was there, they had so many guys, so many stars. I mean, I can't even name them all. It's like they made it in pro wrestling as big names like Orndorff, Atlas, Ricky Steamboat, Ric Flair, Greg Valentine. It just goes on and on. I mean, just unbelievable. They had so many stars there at one time.
You're talking about the '90s?
Yeah, the '90s.
Okay, yeah, they did. That was one of the running jokes I think in the wrestling newsletters back then. That for everybody that they'd hired, you know, everybody that they hired back then, they already had somebody better on their roster who they weren't using.
No kidding. You're right.
And they forgot about them. Yeah.
Yeah, they had lots of guys, man.
Okay, well, who did you like to? Oh, you drove for Flair. I can imagine that might have been a full time gig back at the time because you know he he's another Dracula.
You know? No kidding, buddy. Yeah, me and Rick, we were good friends. See, Rick lost his license, so he had to find somebody to drive him as a designated driver, and I was like a rookie, and so he picked me out of the crowd for some reason. Thank you, good Lord, and. Brother, that was like a blessing for me because I got to pick it. That was right before he got the world title, like the year before, first time. And,
okay.
And I got to pick his brain on interviews, pick his brain coming down the road on matches every night, you know. And that went on for like a year, and that was a blessing. That was really, really helped my career.
Okay. Who else did you normally ride with?
Well, I'm in the Mid-South a lot. Me and Dick Murdoch rode together a lot. Me and Dick Murdoch, he was something else, too. He's a great worker, too, but, boy, he was a little different type of cat. But he was very, very good worker and very good wrestler and tough guy, too. But I rode a lot in Mid-Atlantic with Roddy Piper and different guys like that. All over, you know, just you name them, just about, you know. Sweet Hansen. If you remember who that was. He was a big, he was a double tough. He just got to give me my cauliflower ear and one punch knocked me off my feet in the ring one time.
That's memorable, yeah.
So. he was a big cat, man. He was something else. But, you know,
so,
Pat, I just want to invite everybody out tonight. Monday night, I'm sorry, at 7 o'clock to come to Harvey's Comedy Club because me and Jake Roberts are going to be telling all these stories there and we're going to have a good time. And maybe we can settle that DDT thing once and for all between me and Jake.
Well, that would be nice. I mean, I think our listeners would appreciate that. Although, you know, it sounds like this has been going on for some time. And, you guys have just agreed to disagree.
Yeah, I know it. Yeah. He tells everybody he invented it. I tell people I invented it. And then we go back and forth.
You were both in the ring at the time, right?
Yeah, we were wrestling each other, and then
So
as soon as it happened, I told Jake, "Hey, did you hear those folks? Because the people was in Lake Charles, Louisiana, and the people go, whoa, they couldn't believe it. You know, the first time they ever seen something like that. Then I said, let's do it again, and so we did it even better because we timed it, and it really would come off good. And then I told Jake, you need to take that around and make it your finishing hole. Of course, Jake says he thought of all that. But so anyway, we'll settle that Monday at Harvey's at 7 o'clock downtown.
Okay.
Third Gleason.
Hmm. That sounds like a good time. I hope we get some. I do hope you guys get some resolution on that. Before you arrived on the show, we were talking about comedy in general and. Yeah, I think some of the funniest moments in wrestling, you know, they don't happen because a couple writers sit down and write a skit. I mean, they just happen sort of naturally from, you know, the various crazy characters that you run into in this business and things that happen.
Well, that's true. You're exactly right. Sometimes things just fall into place and it works, just like that DDT thing, you know? And that was a total accident. All of a sudden went, whoa, the people responded so well, we went with it. And a lot of things have been happening like that in the wrestling business.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I mean,
sometimes
I don't want to steal any of your
call, you know? What's that, Pat?
Yeah. I don't want you to use any of your material for Monday night, but can you remember, you know, anything else that happened in the ring that you know, that wasn't expected?
I've been at this like Jake 40 years. I mean, I got so many stories. I don't think I'll ever run out. Okay.
Good.
After being on the road all those times, but trying to think of something that was unexpected that happened to me. I'll tell you one. A lot of people don't. This wasn't something that we wanted to do over, but I'll tell you one where people get a good laugh. Okay, is I was in Texas in Dallas working for Fritz, right? And
right.
The Dingo Warrior, which turned into the Ultimate Warrior down the road. Okay.
Yep.
They go, Lenny, we're going to book you and him 2 weeks around the loop because he needs to learn with the kind of body he's got how to do a press slam, and he don't know how to do it right. He don't lift the guy right. So I'm trying to teach him how to do this right for Fritz and them.
Yeah.
And so we go to some spot show, and he's getting pretty close to getting it right. We go to, I forget what town it was, a spot show. It was an outside show, I never forget. And it was full of people, and I called the press slam. As he goes to lift me up, he goes to pressing me. Now, Pat, I'm sure you've been to the doctor, and you know where the doctor sticks his finger to check you for a hernia?
Oh, God, yes. Yes, unfortunately,
yeah,
I do.
His middle finger went all the way in. And I'm like, I can't even speak. I'm holding my breath. I'm about to pass out. I thought he never was going to turn me and slam me. When he did, I fell through the ropes. I got up, staggered, and fell through the ropes. I thought I was weak, but I could hardly stand up. I cussed him for everything known to man.
Yeah,
but,
no kidding. Jeez.
I mean, that's later on down the line, we laughed about it. But man, that was a classic right there. That was too much. But he finally got it down. You could see him press slamming guys in his career in WWE. He was good at it. So I taught him something.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and you know, not everybody would have volunteered for that job. Yeah, you're gonna let the Warrior practice his press slam on you. Oh, great.
Press slam on you. Yeah. Well, that just comes with the lifestyle, buddy.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's not that he was a bad guy, but you know, it's the on the job training is a bit much.
Just a little bit with a guy that big.
Oh, let's see. It's a yummy. I mean, you're in Portland. You've got to have some sort of stories about Buddy Rose.
Oh yeah, I do, man. Buddy Rose is something else. You know, he was classic of all time. I'll tell you. Let's see. Oh, you know, I got one. I'll tell you. It's not the nicest one, but it really happened. Okay.
Okay.
Buddy Rose was he liked to pull ribs and jokes on. We call them ribs and jokes on guys and like. In the dressing room, if we're in high school, he'd see a bunch of locks. The kids used to lock their locker. He would take them and lock them all on your bag so you could barely pick your bag up when you come back from your match. And now you got to get bolt cutter and cut them off to get rid of them and all kinds of stuff. And he'd say he never touched it. But he was pulling ribs on stuff, and I believe he did the lock thing to there's a gentleman here named Andre the Giant wrestling, right?
Oh, yeah.
And so Andre didn't take that real kindly. He didn't like that, okay? And so they went out to wrestle that night, and Andre was mad, okay, and Buddy for doing stuff to his bag. And so when they got in the ring, okay, Buddy he told him to get a headlock, and he grabbed Buddy around the waist where he couldn't go nowhere, because now when Andre grabbed you, you're not moving until he wants you to, okay?
No.
So he takes his thumb, and he ran as far as he could up where the sun don't shine. Okay? Yeah.
That's
and
not
Buddy,
fun.
No, it ain't no fun, Buddy. He was paying Buddy back for what he's making him feel like that. Anyway, and this is a classic, Pat, I swear. So Buddy, I go, Buddy. I ask him years later when he's telling the story in the dressing room. I go, Buddy Rose, did that hurt? He goes, well, once you relax, it ain't that bad. Oh, my God. Oh, dear. I said, Buddy Rose, you're a sick man.
Yeah, you gotta have a sense of humor, though, for I guess
so, brother. That was you ever seen the size of Andre's fingers and thumb? They're big as a damn cucumber.
Yeah, that was smart. They made the life-size statue of him, but I think people are still going to look at that and they're still not going to believe it, you know?
And Patton, no kidding, Patton, I don't know why all of a sudden today these things with the fingers coming up in my stories, but for some reason, I got two stories about this. I hadn't told these stories in years.
Okay, well, we're appreciative of the fact that you decided to share them with us. The one Andre story that we've all heard in the past couple of weeks is, you know, Andre had a difference of opinion with Black Jack Mulligan, and it ended with Andre throwing him through a wall, I believe, is the end of that story.
You know something? I heard that too. I wasn't in that territory, so I didn't witness that, but I heard the same thing from the Cuban assassin told me. I believe he was there.
Yeah, I don't believe that.
I don't either. I'll tell you one thing about Andre is I was in, Birmingham, Alabama for a big show one Thanksgiving night, huh? And for the Fullers back in the day. And it was one of those Thanksgiving's big extravaganzas, and the place was just packed. I mean, we had, like, talent everywhere, and Hulk Hogan was on the card, right? And this is before he went to WWE or WWF, right? The first time.
Right. He
was just getting his break. I guess he'd been there, but he was just still working some other territories, and he had the big name already. So we're in the dressing room, and all the guys are in there, and all of a sudden, I don't know what made Hogan say this, but I witnessed it myself. He goes, yeah, when I put that full Nelson on anybody in the wrestling business, they're done. Nobody gets out of my hole. Well, Andre was sitting in the dressing room, okay? And Andre goes, really, boss? See, if he liked you, he called you boss. If he didn't like you, you don't want to know what he called you. There ain't a damn thing you can do about it. But he goes, he gets up and he goes, put it on me. Let's see. Everybody got quiet, you know. Like, oh God. And Hogan put it on the shoot style. You don't get out of, you know. And I'm telling you the truth, Pat. Andre pulled his arms down to his side like it was butter, like nothing. Got out of it easily. Mm-hmm. And he looked at Hogan and said, what'd you say? He goes, everybody but you, Andre. Yeah.
That's the right answer.
That's true. That's true.
Smart. Yeah, that's a smart answer. I mean, I'm impressed that he could even put it on him in the first place, you know?
Yeah, the biggest he was. Yeah, he could. He's a big guy, you know? But, I got Andre hot and mad at me one time. Only one time he got mad at me because he didn't like the joke in the ribs too much, you know, like especially putting on him, you know. So we were in the Superdome wrestling, right?
Right.
And we wrestled each other in a tag or something. We come back and I'm taking a shower. Now, in the Superdome, the shower's open. There's no doors. It's just a big open shower. And the road warrior,
like a locker room type thing. Yeah, big shower.
Yeah, locker room. And the road warriors are sitting in the middle of the floor. They're sitting there. And so me and Andre go in the shower, and I'm looking around, taking a shower. Finally, I look over at Andre, and I turn around, facing the road warriors. I said, look, I'm hung like Andre the Giant. And Andre, Andre didn't think that was funny. The road warriors fell out of their chair laughing, right? Andre goes, I don't think that's funny, boss. I go, okay, boss. I'm sorry. Calm down. It was
just a joke.
Yeah. But hey, Pat, I'm going to have to get rolling here, buddy, but I appreciate you letting me be on your show today.
Oh, listen, it's our pleasure, and I know Jim's going to want to have you back at some point, and we've got to find out how things end up with your conversation with Jake on Monday.
Oh, I'll let you know, buddy. And please invite everybody out to Harvey's Monday night at 7 o'clock. We're going to have a good one there, okay?
Harvey's in Portland, Oregon, Monday night, 7 o'clock. Unspoken word tour with Jake Roberts and the Grappler. The Grappler, we appreciate it. Thank you very much for being on the show.
Pat, thanks a million, buddy. Anytime you need me, just call me, okay?
Okay, will do. All right, the Grappler, ladies and gentlemen, one of the biggest stars of the wrestling business, a guy who got to be everywhere from WWF to WCW but made his career most famous for his work in Portland. All right, 646-721-9828. We've got a final segment to get through, too, so we are going to do that and come back after this timeout. Don't go anywhere.
We know you're a pro wrestling fan because you're listening to the PW Torch livecast. There's a good chance you're also a fan of the UFC and all of mixed martial arts. And if so, we hope you'll check out our sister website at MMATorch.com, covering the news of MMA every single day with breaking news, exclusive analysis, an array of columns, live event coverage, flashbacks, and so much more. Check it out. That's MMATorch.com or download the free MMA Torch app in the iPhone and Android app stores. That's MMATorch.com.
All right, we're back on Saturday Morning Wrestling as we ease into afternoon here on the East Coast, 646-721-9828. Got about 20 minutes left. I want to thank Jake Roberts and the Grappler for being on. And we have lots of time for your questions from any period of professional wrestling, looking back at its great history or looking back at stuff that you remember for your childhood. Let's see what we can do here. We're going to go – Bruce Mitchell is going to be on with me next Saturday. I know that's not a surprise to any of you who have who have done this before. And Jim made fun of me on the show because saying, Pat, you're lazy. You wanted a guest and you called Bruce Mitchell. He says that he doesn't know how hard it is to talk Bruce Mitchell into doing anything on a show that he's not already on, and to talk Bruce Mitchell into doing a show on a Saturday morning. But definitely we will be up for talking about professional wrestling. Let's go ahead and, okay, I want to do some of this. There are places online that keep track of. I'm looking at one of them now that have they keep track of the wrestling news from the past, and wanted to go back and do. Let's see, some of what was happening in 1984. Yeah, that was the a big year for professional wrestling. What with Vince McMahon expanding nationally and a lot of other promotions, shall we say, contracting. Let's see here. So I'm gonna go back and we're gonna and do a sort of a recap of the year 1984 in professional wrestling, if you're up for that. If not, if you have something else that you want to get off your chest or you just want to talk to us, 646-721-9828, and this is how we will spend the final 20 minutes. Don't forget, tomorrow there is a pay-per-view. It's called WWE Payback. It's in Chicago. And immediately after the show, you just head over here. It'll probably be around 11:30 Eastern. Head over here to pwtorchlivecast.com. Our own James Caldwell and Greg Parks do the post-game show, where they'll be taking your calls. For VIP members, we do something that's called the VIP Roundtable, and it should be me and Wade Keller and Bruce Mitchell and probably Todd Martin giving our opinions of and breakdown of the show. And for finding out what you people think and for getting stuff off your chest, just easier to call into the live cast. And in fact, if you want to go back and listen to any of the previous shows, like the post-WrestleMania show, WWE is pushing very hard that you can watch the WrestleMania again on the network. But if you want to do the post-WrestleMania, if you want to hear the post-WrestleMania show, you can get that or any one of the over 1,000 live casts from the past on pwtorchlivecast.com and all the previous episodes of Saturday Morning Wrestling, the ones with Jim Valley in them. They're also available on that website. Okay, so 1984. The big story, of course, to start out the year is that, at the last show of 1983 in the WWF was the Iron Sheik defeating Bob Backlund. And people wondering, with Backlund's reign ending, what was coming next? Because, you didn't really, it was hard to get insider sources back in the day. Okay, I'm going to go ahead with this. Let's go to the 773 area code. 773, please state your name and town and whether you are, in fact, Boris from Chicago. Hello, Boris.
Hey, you know I was going to call in when I found out that you was close to, you know.
I kind of figured I saw that you were on the line, but you didn't raise your hand until after we got done with Jake and the Grappler. So I understand. What's going on, Boris?
You know, I had to get on Wade. I mean, why would he do me like this? I'm taking it personal because he put you and Travis on at the same time. It's like once I discovered it, I was like, oh, come on now.
Well, now, it's not okay. This is not Wade's fault. The whole Wednesday thing has to do with me. Has to do with my work schedule, and hopefully in a few weeks that's going to change. And you know, Travis has already had like Travis is already 90 minutes into his 12 or 13 hour show by the time that I take the air. I mean, that's
I know.
All right. By the way, one of the benefits, kids, from being a Torch member is you get access to the East Coast Cast after shows, which are very often longer than the regular shows itself. As you know, Boris.
Yes. Now I was thinking about the history of wrestling. I mean, with Nakamura, front and center right now, that means they showcased his past matches, and it's like. Just looking at Nakamura, how he changed over time, as far as the way he looked now versus when he started, it's really awesome to be a part of something like that. And I was trying to think, I've seen The Undertaker evolve, from Mean Mark and, the tag team all the way from there. And I'm trying to see who were your favorites, from the past that you because we got to see Ric Flair. I didn't get to see all of Ric Flair, just, not when he first started. I got to enjoy Stone Cold, Undertaker. Those are two big names.
Yeah.
Who did you get to see evolve? Because I know we're probably from different generations. Who did you get to see their full, evolve to who they are now?
Yeah, well, Stone Cold, actually, that's a great choice. He's a guy who was treated as a very basic wrestler, and he kind of was with his black outfit.
WCW, ECW to WWEF, whatever it was called.
And before that, if you get on the network, you can even see some of the stuff he did in Texas, where he was, he wasn't Stunning Steve, I don't think he was, but, he had hair. I think that was the thing that was most memorable about him.
Because like you said, if you go back far to the past, 1-3-3 Kid, Lightning Kid.
That's true.
Global Force.
That was a big change,
How awesome was that? And it's kind of like, who will we see now? We're going to see them really evolve all the way. We don't have that same feel with the generation now, do we?
Mm-hmm. Well, we were just, Jim and I were just going through the late 90s stuff with WWF. Edge made Edge is this goofy vampire character with big teeth, and he became a big star. John Cena is not the same John Cena that he was 13 years ago. Remember, he was just generic guy. They liked him because he had a good body. Then Stephanie McMahon somehow found out he could rap, and then we got this.
I forgot. So, someone had mentioned Kurt Angle, too, where I forgot he used to play the ukulele.
That was kind of,
Oh, my God.
That was, the comedy stuff with Austin and Angle came about because at that time, they were both injured. They were both hurting and trying to drag their way through shows, but they wanted to keep them on television because, it's Steve Austin and it's Kurt Angle. And that's where a lot of those comedy sketches with Vince came from. They're trying to make Steve Austin's bad guy character, where he's doing all the hugging. They were making fun of Diamond Dallas Page because that's how he acted in real life. Just sort of got a kick out of that, But Diamond Dallas Page comes up to you, bro, gives you a big hug, Can you imagine Vince McMahon, when that happened to him the first time? Hello, Mr. Page. Bro, hey, Vince, big hug,
I know this is probably the last time we'll talk before it happens. You could throw your prediction in there for tomorrow night.
For tomorrow?
I'm going to enjoy the booze.
I'm trying to figure. I'm trying to put together my article. I'm trying to figure out how I would do it. And I think there's real potential for doing a long feud between Roman Reigns and AJ Styles and their respective crews, because we've already seen that Roman has Dean Ambrose, Roman has the Usos, AJ, you know, Doc Gallows and Carl Anderson and you know, probably Finn Balor when he comes up. There's also all the XTNA guys that they could pull in if they really wanted to. Reigns has other people. I mean, Seth Rollins comes back. Whose side is he on? You could keep this going for months, and there's no reason why you couldn't. Of course, if you do that for months, then you're not doing stories about, you know, Shane McMahon and Vince McMahon and Stephanie McMahon and Stephanie McMahon's husband.
There you go.
Yeah, but I just think there's a lot of real potential there, and I'm gonna be upset if this lasts 1 month and they move on to having, you know, Roman Reigns feud with Sheamus or something, you know.
I tell you this much, people be saying it, I think the crowd, the fans will turn on any program that they try to side Roman Reigns and John Cena with the Bullet Club or, you know, any of that, because it's going to feel that they're sucking
yeah.
the air out the room with these guys. When you side them with it, it's, or you protecting the Roman Reigns again by putting them, you know, with these guys, just like they protected them with Dean Ambrose and all this stuff. I'm feeling they protecting them again by siding them with the guys
well, yeah.
that people like. So it's gonna.
I understand that because you do want to protect your top guys. Those are the ones that you're going to make the most money off of. But I think, I think there's two feuds that people want to see Roman Reigns in, assuming of course that he beats AJ Styles, which I'm kind of expecting.
Ooh.
Yeah, I think people want to see, you know, people want to see Brock Lesnar come back and come after Roman Reigns, and I think that after John Cena's ready, I think people will be ready for Roman Reigns against John Cena. I said people, I don't necessarily mean you, Boris, but I think, you know.
I'm just saying, this dude is getting sniper booze now. It feels like he's getting sniper booed. You could put him against where anybody's at, and they're gonna. As soon as he get in the ring, he's gonna get booed. As soon as the other guy or whatever the challenge is in there, he's gonna get the cheers every time. They've been sniping him now because they want to. It's pinpointed that they're not happy. We're not happy with this, and they're not willing to actually blow this up and really show change. Because if you don't blow this up, the story that you've been trying to get across. But blow this up is a waste of bringing all these people in because they're going to steal. All these guys, to me, is going to outshine this person because we're smarter now.
Okay, well, here's the thing with that, Boris. They think that making Roman Reigns the main guy is blowing this up because, you know, they're on a different. I mean, you got Vince McMahon. He's on a different. Time schedule than, you know.
Okay.
I mean, he's from an era where a year was having feuds go for 3 months was about normal, you know. I mean, he's not in the era. He's not in the rush, low attention span era. And it's kind of hard to do. There's a reason why they have long matches on these 3-hour shows because they don't have enough, creative. I mean, even they love comedy and skits and stuff. There's no way they could come up with 3 hours with enough skits to fill 3 hours worth of stuff every week. So they know that they're locked in. But they think Roman Reigns is the new guy. You know, even though he's been pushed as the main guy for the past year or so, they think, well, we're finally putting the title on him. So this is this is the first pay per view of the new era. Roman Reigns is new as champion. And I know that a lot of fans do not see it that way, to put it mildly. And, yeah, I think at this point, if John Cena, if they walk into some, I mean, you saw Del Rio got cheered against Roman Reigns on Monday night, right?
Yep.
You saw that. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be as worried about that. I'm worried about the reports off the European tour that they put Roman Reigns and Sheamus out there in the main event and people started walking out during the main event.
Wow.
That's now that might just be it was Roman Reigns and Sheamus instead of Roman Reigns and Bray Wyatt, but that's not what you want.
No.
I think if they get to SummerSlam and they put John Cena out there against Roman Reigns in the main event, I think people are going to cheer for John Cena.
And that's going to be interesting. I don't know. That is something to think about. I mean, you got to, you know, to say that these the two people, the entities that people really, you know, boo, you have which one will get booed the hardest or who won't get booed is crazy.
Yeah, you know? I mean, if they're out there and they're doing...
It's out there. It's, they keep saying it.
Yeah, it's out there. I'm amazed that they have managed to go a year without getting back to doing Reigns versus Lesnar one-on-one, because I think, you know, I think that's a big money match right there, but they feel for some reason they can't afford to have Brock Lesnar losing, except maybe to The Undertaker. So,
have we had this in the past? Speaking of that, has there been somewhere in history where there were two unlikable characters? You know, I'm asking you that question. In the past, has there any been a situation where both people were, I mean, not booed because
hated?
It's the storyline to boo them. Has it been like this in the past?
I don't remember it for any companies that's trying to stay in business. You know, I mean, let's see here. I mean, you don't normally do the hated characters against hated characters. I mean, if you go back to when NWA did Ric Flair against Nikita Koloff, you know, Ric Flair was instantly the good guy. You know, Ric Flair had to be the good guy because he was fighting the evil Russian. So fans, even though Ric Flair is a dirty cheater, if he's fighting the Russians, Ric Flair's a good guy, right?
Right.
Yeah. So I mean, the temptation is that if you're WWE and you're doing something like Roman Reigns versus John Cena, you're going to put one of them as the good guy. I mean, that's just going to do something where you want the fans to lean one way or the other. It's something that people don't normally like to do. It's kind of like the opposite of the Shane McMahon Undertaker match. You know, if you put two people in that people like, then that's one thing. Generally, wrestling companies don't like to put two guys who are hated against each other because they, you know, A, you're confusing the audience, and B, you know, you're not necessarily, I mean, I don't know, people don't necessarily get excited about seeing it. I mean, the Wyatts and the Shield were both heels, but they were heels that people cheered for when they did that.
Right.
And that was some great stuff.
That was
actually
amazing. That was amazing.
Yeah. So I'm okay with that.
It was organic.
Yeah, that's what the best wrestling feuds come from. Here's what WWE feels like, and I sort of agree with this. You know, Reigns just got the title back, and they haven't really let him be champion yet. He's got to take down a few guys to sort of build himself up. And I love AJ Styles. AJ Styles debuted less than 90 days ago. It's very unlikely they're going to put the title on him.
What a crowd. You don't suppose like car crashes or trains crashing into each other?
I don't know how Chicago's going to react. I guess Chicago's going to react to that. I'm sure we'll hear some. Yeah, we'll see. Well, here's some CM Punk chant. I mean, that's the only thing I can guarantee.
But this is not the way I enjoyed old programs, because this is about to pass. It's the clashing of two titans, you know. Who didn't want to watch Vader versus Stan Hansen? Oh, my God. In Japan, you just felt like you knew those two worlds was going to collide, and it was going to be, you know, you always picture, you know, okay, I can't wait to this guy. Just like back in the day when, you know, we thought we was going to get the Hogan versus Ric Flair, and he came with that belt. It's like, oh, my God. It's like, you know, your dream come
true.
We did,
and we would have if they hadn't had the. I mean, they would have done it probably at WrestleMania if the house shows had sold better, and if they weren't in the middle of the steroid scandal and Vince felt the need. Okay,
yeah.
let's get Hogan off TV for a while. There's got to be some other stupid movie he can make, you know.
That was an organic build-up, too, before they, you know, the two organizations got to, you know, the one person jumped to the other organization, because in Pro Wrestling Illustrated back then, it was always him and Hogan on the top, you know, on the pages. And so, you know, it was always been a fan rivalry with WCW and WWE, who was the top guy, you know, and then they finally had the storyline, and that's the only thing I really wish from the past that was actually done well was the Ric Flair versus Hogan, because Hogan.
Well,
Ric
yeah,
Flair,
and then they did, and then they did it so much in WCW that nobody wanted to see it again for a while.
WCW.
Well, I mean, they were smart enough to know, hey, we got to do Hulk Hogan versus Ric Flair, and they did that right away when Hogan came in. But that's again, you're back to corporate wrestling. You know, the people who don't know when to quit, and you get people, And, I mean, you've got, I mean, even Eric Bischoff had bosses who go, oh, that Hogan versus Flair match, that did so well. We've got to do that again so we can get another good rating.
Well, at least I did get my Brett versus Ric Flair. That was just my dream matches because I like both guys. I like Ric Flair and Bret Hart. So I got my dream match out of those two cats. You know what I mean? You know.
You like them better than they liked each other, obviously. So.
It's like I said, it's a video game. You always gonna you know think about it and man. You had these characters that are built up and, you know, they got all this reputation and skills behind them, and you want to see them, you know, match up. But back then it was like more of an honor system, right, where if this guy got pinned by this guy, you know, he seen that he was worthy of pinning me. You know, I always thought that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Was that true?
I mean, was what true?
The top guy let the new guy pin him. It was a respect thing, and he felt that this guy was worthy of, you know, getting the pin off of me, you know, pinning me.
Yeah, I mean, well, sometimes that was true, and sometimes not so much. But, you know, I mean, it was always thought of, you know, as being good for business, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, Boris. Well, listen, we're coming up on the – we're actually coming up on the end of Saturday Morning Wrestling. I know that's hard to believe, but – yeah. Anything else you want to? Anything else you want to get off your chest before we wrap it up?
Well, we did pretty much, and we did our predictions. And you know, Chicago has been a one question. You think like they did the transition? I mean, not transition, but they did let a title change in Chicago, and it meant to something significant. You think they will? You think they're going to do the title change in Chicago because they've done it before. And it's to me, it's significant that you can't do a title change in Chicago like this if you're trying to make change. They did it with CM Punk, correct?
Right, but I mean, I don't think they're changed. I don't think AJ Styles is getting that title on Sunday. Now, I could be wrong. I mean, they've fooled us before. But, I mean, you look at what they've done leading up to this, it just doesn't seem like the way they do business. I could see them doing something where there's not a finish and they have a rematch, you know, next month at Extreme Rules.
I have hope. Samoa Joe champion,
right.
So I do have hope. I have hope.
Okay, Boris. Thank you. We're up against the heartbreak, but all right, you take care. And thank you for staying with us for the 90 minutes. We'll be back next week on Saturday Morning Wrestling, and Mr. Bruce Mitchell will be here. And he might choose to answer some questions about the Mid-Atlantic territory. We could only hope. But until then, Pat McNeil filling in for Jim Valley, and Jim will be back with you in 2 weeks. And we will see you again next time. This is Live!